This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Adam and a special co-host tonight, Alan, with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre.
Hello.
Before we get started, thanks to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. So welcome, Alan. Welcome back to Well, Well, Well. How are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm just fine and dandy.
Nice and chilled
for a Thursday night. What's on the show this week, Adam?
What is on the show? Well, let me tell you what is on the show.
Please do.
Tonight on the show, we'll be chatting with Nate Reid, the co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, who I have a very big fondness for, Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. I actually don't know Nate, but we will soon get to know Nate quite well.
Sure, we'll be quite fond of her as well.
Yes, exactly. So we'll also have some news pretty soon and snippets of other info later. But Alan, we do really love to hear from our listener. And how can they get in contact with us tonight?
Well, they can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Or they can send us an email onair@joy.org.au or send an SMS via 0427 JOY 949.
And just before we check into the first song, I'd like to give a big shout out to my mum, who's actually not feeling well tonight.
Oh, poor Mama Hines. How's she going?
Yeah, she's going well. So she's foregoing yoga or aerobics or swimming. I'm not quite sure what she does on a Thursday night.
You're a bad sign. You should pay more attention.
Well, she should be listening to me on a Thursday night.
On your mum's side.
Yeah, whatever. Anywho, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and this is the part of the show where we like to change tracks and sort of get into our news sort of segmenty. So we shuffle our papers, pretend like we're at a news desk.
Oh, we are. We definitely are.
Well, we're at a desk, and we're saying some news, so I guess that's news
to
desk.
News desk-ish.
Yeah, right, I'm with you. But the thing that I came across this week that I actually thought was quite interesting and actually something quite different to what we usually talk about on Well, Well, Well.
What's that, Adam?
It was from AIDS Map, and we bang on about AIDS Map all the time. But it's
they are a great resource.
It's a fantastic resource, and I think that I say that exact line every time we talk about AIDS Map.
We should really change that up a bit.
Anywho, but it was the results of a really large research project that was happening across Eastern Europe.
How large? I think it was. From memory, 180,000 participants.
Are you right with your knee there? That was a really large bang. And
that's because it really hurt, and I was trying not to draw attention to it, but thanks for...
Well, the listeners would have heard it and thought, what is that? What is going on?
That was my knee being injured.
Anywho, the heading was European gay men more likely to buy or sell sex if they have large numbers of sex partners, are lonely, and use drugs. So that kind of really caught my eye because we really don't talk about sex work on here in relation to HIV prevention. And I thought that this was one of the studies that we could probably try and incorporate.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what I was trying to say before I injured my knee was the size of the survey was made up of 180,000 participants from across 38 European countries, which is quite amazing to get that amount of people
it's
to
massive.
Actually... complete a survey. I don't think we have attendance like that at our research stuff very often.
No. I mean, it's such a amazingly large amount of people that obviously the recruitment strategies. Obviously, it was an online survey, which makes it much more easier to actually sort of capture the people that you're interested in. But it was 180,000 participants from 38 countries, as you said. Who completed the European Men Who Have Sex With Men Internet Survey, or EMIS.
EMIS
in 2010. So this was actually quite a while ago, but this research report actually focused on one specific question in relation to buying or selling sex, and then kind of really looked at what the factors were. So,
well, it showed that 8% of gay men or men who have sex with men have paid for sex in the previous 12 months. So, I mean, that that 8% of 180,000 is what about?
It's about 1,500.
That's quite a...
Which is exactly, because when I thought 8% of, you know, of nothing is... 8% of nothing is nothing, of course. 8% of nothing is nothing.
But if there weren't that many men in the survey, then 8% could be quite a small number. But actually, because of the size of the survey...
Yeah, and so the researchers found that a number of characteristics were associated with buying or selling sex, including age, sexual identity and drug use. So the investigators stressed that buying and selling sex does not automatically involve an increased risk of HIV, but nevertheless, they suggest that individuals with characteristics associated with the purchase or sale of sex should be targeted with health promotion interventions. So the information that they sort of gathered was about demographics, sexual behaviour and drug use amongst MSM. And so overall, 8%, as you said, had bought sex in the previous year, and the countries that had the highest proportion of men buying sex were Switzerland, Cyprus, Russia and Belgium. I'm like, Switzerland? Really? Really?
Well, you know, why not? But what was interesting is that, you know, so of that 8%, most of the men, so about 60% of the 8%, so I know that sounds a bit confusing, but 60% of the men who reported buying sex had done so on one or two occasions only, but 10% had paid for sex on more than 10 occasions. So that, I mean, we are talking about in a 12-month period, so paying for sex 10 times in a 12-month period is, you know, quite regular.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess in relation to selling sex in the previous year, it was reported by 5% of the men, which works out to be roughly around 1,200 or 1,250. So countries with the highest proportion of men selling sex were the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Turkey, Italy and Moldova. And I kind of thought, isn't it really weird that the countries that are purchasing sex aren't the countries that are the highest in relation to selling sex?
Well, what's also interesting is actually that over half of the men who did sell sex only did so on one or two occasions. So the other 48% are probably...
what?
Probably on significantly or disproportionately higher in terms of the number of occasions that they have sold sex.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess, you know, the most important thing I think that the researchers did sort of put on was that having paid for sex does not necessarily indicate that the person is a sex worker. And we have heard stories, well, anecdotally, I've heard stories of people that, you know, have gone out and they've picked up and whatnot, and then the next day someone's given them money.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it certainly is something that that I've heard of as well. And so it kind of, it suggests that these are much more... Yeah, I guess not going to a professional sex worker.
It sounded like it was more opportunistic. And obviously there was only a couple of questions involved in the actual research project, so they really couldn't actually delve deeper in. But I guess when you actually look at the large number of sex partners in the previous year, the use of crack or heroin and recent use of drugs such as Viagra were associated with the purchase of sex, which... I didn't really kind of see the linkage between them. I mean, understandably, if you're using Viagra, then obviously you're on the lookout for sex. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to find yourself in a situation where you have the opportunity to purchase sex.
Or the requirement. So I was interested to see that and to see that there was an association between those two, because I guess I would have just... assumed that it would be at a similar level to sex that isn't being paid for, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess the crux of the article is that the number of factors associated with having bought sex were men over the age of 40 were almost 10 times more likely to have reported buying sex than men aged under 25. Identifying as bisexual was also associated with buying sex, as was being out to gay to only a few people, and men who reported being lonely were also more likely to buy sex, which that...
I mean, that's kind of follows what you expect.
Yeah, that's sort of the stuff that I was, I guess, sort of expecting to sort of see.
Yeah, and I guess the conclusion that the study, or the authors of the study, kind of came to around that was that, you know, the profile of men who paid for sex are generally older and have kind of might not be out. So they have a, you know, hidden or undisclosed kind of sexuality. So I think, you know, that again, it's kind of what we would expect to see in that group.
Exactly. And I guess the main crux as well of the article is to sort of say, well, where should we be targeting health promotion? Obviously, if there's a large proportion of people that are engaging in, buying sex or selling sex, really, they are an important at-risk population in relation to, I guess, HIV prevention, acquisition and transmission. Mm. So...
In terms of... Well, I guess that's where the study was quite helpful in terms of trying to identify who the people selling sex were. So they were, you know, generally of a younger age, so between 25 and 40 years, generally had lower educational attainment, unemployed, or they identified as bisexual, or loneliness, or recreational drug use, and specifically around the use of crack or heroin. And note, these are the factors for the men selling sex. So I think that gives us a pretty good idea of where to kind of look or what things to keep an eye out for.
Exactly. But if you want to actually find out about this article and find out a little bit more, then obviously log on to AIDSMAP.com, which is AIDSMAP.com, and find the article. But we also will post it on our Facebook page, so certainly, if you're interested. But this is Well on Joy 94.9.
The Gay and Lesbian Switchboard invite you to their next fundraiser. It's time for a bit of fierce and competitive fundraising. Who knows the most about everything from RuPaul to Paul Ruse, from Glee to Gee, from Dawn Fraser to Dory. So grab a group of mates, book a table and find out. It's the Gay and Lesbian Trivia Afternoon. So tables of 8 people are great, although individual bookings are also welcome. Hosted by Joy 94.9's Kyle Minow, Eureka Hotel, 1 Church Street, Richmond, on Sunday the 30th of June 2013, 2 to 5 p.m. There will be door raffle prizes and prizes for the first, second and third place, with drinks at bar prices. Bookings are essential, so please visit switchboard.org.au for bookings and details.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. And joining us in the studio tonight is Nate Reed, the co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. And how ironic that we just had a live read about the trivia night. But welcome, Nate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. So can you, I guess, before we get into the crux of GLS, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and then about what the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard is?
Yeah, so... I suppose about me personally.
Yeah, totally. What's your background?
I work as a doctor, volunteer at Switchboard. That's about it. Live with my partner and 2 dogs and a cat.
Awesome.
So I've been with Switchboard for about 2 years now, which is pretty cool. Done a few different roles there, but currently doing co-prezi units.
And so exactly what is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard?
So it's a peer-based referral and counselling service for members of the GLBTIQ community. We run sort of seven nights a week and 365 days a year.
Wow.
So no breaks.
That's a whole lot of days.
It is.
Well, I guess, can you share with the listener how you got involved with Gay and Lesbian Switchboard and about your role as co-president?
Yeah, so essentially I was in a place where I was looking to do some volunteer work and wanted to play to my strengths, so I thought some phone counselling would be good, and sort of peer-based type stuff seemed quite good. So I applied and did the training course and became a volunteer counsellor. Yeah, 2 years ago, and then sort of just floated around for a while, and eventually ended up at the last AGM putting my hand up for co-pres.
Raised through the ranks.
Awesome. So when was that? I mean, how long have you been co-president?
So that was in November of last year.
And who's your co-counterpart?
I don't have anyone, so I'm solo co-president.
Solo co-president.
Oh, you should be renaming that. No longer co-president, like sole president.
Just
like,
president.
Yeah, it's true. It could work.
And so was there just nobody who was able to sort of fulfill the position? Because obviously it is very, you know, it's very time-consuming. Obviously it's volunteer-based, that there was nobody available to fill that co, I guess, president position?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we do struggle a little bit with in terms of getting people onto committee, because it is completely voluntary and it is a very big time commitment. And so, yeah, so I was unfortunately the only one that stuck my hand up. But, you know, that's okay.
Well, good on you, because obviously it's such a great organisation and it is completely volunteer-based that you think, you know, it's members from the community that really do need to step up. And obviously you've stepped up, put your hand up. I'm not sure if you know what you got yourself into.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we're just going to listen to a quick song and then we'll be back shortly. But this is Kelly Clarkson's Stronger. So if you need to feel stronger, you
really
can call the
like
switchboard. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and I think we've had a message.
We are very, very, very excited to get this message. So it says, "Hi guys, love the show. What's the topic tonight?" So obviously you probably are aware by now that we're talking about gay and lesbian switchboard with Nate. So that's the topic for tonight. And he wanted to, this is from Scotty, who wanted to know if we're taking music requests. Well, Scotty, we can't take a music request for tonight, but we can certainly take a music request for next week's show.
Very much so. So
Tex will be more than delighted to incorporate into the show. So feel free to send us through a message with your request just so we can...
But it has to be before 1980 and it has to be on a CD and, yeah.
Vinyl?
No, we don't play vinyl. No, we don't.
Serious oversight there.
We don't play vinyl in the studio. But look, if you've just joined us, we're chatting with Nate Reed, the co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. So in terms of the switchboard itself, how long has it been around?
It's been around for nearly 22 years now.
Started, oh, my Lord.
91. Yeah, so it's been around for ages.
And how did it get started?
So essentially there was a group of very wonderful people who decided that there was a lack in services in terms of counselling services for members of the queer community, and so decided to put together some form of a training course and then got a phone started and it all started there.
I like it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So what kind of services does the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard provide?
So we we've got two separate type of roles that sometimes combine, and counselling and referral. So all of our people on the phone go through a training process of how to be a telephone counsellor, and so can work through issues, etc. And then we also have referrals to a very wide range of queer things in both Victoria and Tasmania.
And so who is on the other end of the line? Like, obviously it's volunteers that are taking the calls. So who are the types of people that are calling?
Anyone and anything, really. Generally members of the queer community. It's people, we sort of, our service is Tasmania and Victoria. And then it's anything. It's people, young people, older people, also friends, co-workers, mums, etc., who want to talk about something and they feel as though it would be best discussed with somebody who they think can understand.
Yeah. And so in relation to the referrals, is it like people calling up saying, where's my local bar, or what type of social clubs can I join, or what?
Yeah. So it's, bar, where am I? I'm in Hobart, where can I go out tonight? I need a plumber. Is there someone? Like, it can be anything.
Yeah.
People call for a wide range of things, and it's essentially, we've got a lot of things on our database, so a lot of things we can answer, but sometimes we're sort of, I think a plumber would be okay with you being gay.
Google search.
Yeah, exactly.
They may not find out that you're gay or may not need to find out.
Exactly.
But, you know, it could be important.
It's true. It's true.
And fantastic. And I guess, you know, with the two types, the counselling and the referrals, they'd obviously be quite different calls that I guess the volunteer would have to take on, that you're not quite sure what you're really going to get when the phone rings.
Yeah, it is a bit like when the phone does ring, you know, it's a little bit of anxiety, I suppose. But generally the callers are pretty good. By the time they've got to the place where they're picking up the phone, they know what they want to, they know what they want. So if it's a referral, it's very straightforward. It's, hi, I want a referral to such and such. But then the counselling, generally by the time they've actually built up the courage to say, oh, hello, you sort of can go with it, and it's generally pretty good.
I think it's good to, you know, when you were saying before that, you know, most of the callers are from the JLBTIQ community, but, you know, there might be people who are maybe a little bit outside but still connected to that community. And it's kind of great that they feel that they're able to call and that that there's kind of a place for them in that service. You know, I think, you know, that was certainly news for me, and I think that's, you know, quite a positive thing to hear.
So. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're just going to listen to a couple of quick community service announcements, and we'll be back quite shortly. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Nate, the co-president of... the full president, I should say, of Gamblers Win Switchboard.
The co-sole president.
Exactly. So, obviously, we were speaking about the callers before, but, like, do you have an average caller? Because, obviously, it's GLBTI inclusive. So, is there, like, one particular caller that you get all the time? Like, is it always, like, I don't know, gay men ringing up or gay women ringing up or, like, yeah.
Is it even across the...
Well, it's board. Yeah, like we do get a very wide range. Our last annual report, our statistics, the most common caller, also I suppose the average caller, was a gay identified male between the ages of 35 and 50. And it was, I think it made up about maybe 35% of our calls. So even though it was the majority average, it's still there's a wide range of sort of other callers.
Yeah, it's not like 70%.
No.
Or something. Yeah.
Okay. And so how long do the calls usually last for? Obviously, the referrals would be quite quick and quite easy to get through, but the actual counselling aspects, like how long will the calls last for?
They last for as long as the call is. I think our average call length is about 20 minutes, but that's, you know, obviously taking into account referral calls, which can take 2, 3, 4 minutes. I suppose as... My experience on the phones is that most counselling calls can go anywhere between 20 minutes to 45 minutes, sometimes a little bit longer, but generally not. Sorry?
Is there a cut-off at all?
No. I mean, there's not a cut-off as such, but we, due to our opening hours, if it's getting sort of towards the end of our shifts, then sometimes it's a bit of, oh, sorry, look, maybe call back tomorrow and all that sort of thing.
And so all of the phone counsellors are volunteers, so nobody gets paid. Like, everyone's just doing it because they, I guess, you know, want to really help out in the community and want to do something really good.
Yeah, so we do have one paid admin person who essentially ensures that it's the only reason we're still running, essentially.
The functioning.
So, and she does all the sort of admin-y type stuff, but everyone else is completely voluntary.
And a big shout out to Leanne for doing that job, because she's amazing.
She is amazing.
So how many trained volunteers do you actually have?
Yeah, I tried to look this up and I couldn't quite work it out. I think there's between 30 and 40 as to how many are currently active. I'm not 100% sure, but around that number.
And so I guess what kind of what training do they receive?
Yeah, so it's a pretty intensive training that... goes for 6 weeks, and then there's also like the selection day prior to the training. But it's a full day every week for 6 weeks, and essentially try and cover as many topics as possible.
Oh, wow. Very good.
Awesome. And so what types of topics are they trained in? Obviously, because the calls would be so different, like based on individual, personal characteristics, all those types of things. So, what types of topics are covered in the training?
So everything from sort of, I suppose, sexuality, coming out, to sexually transmitted disease type stuff, to religion, to gender, to anything. But most of the focus of the training is about that we're a peer-based service. So it's about actually going, well, you've probably gone through this and that sort of stuff, and actually getting that peer level as opposed to a sort of a counsellor and a client type thing.
Yeah. Well, it makes a big difference. And we actually have had a message come through, and it's from my mum. She said not to use a name, but I'm absolutely outraged. She says, enjoying program and music. I just want to point out that 8% of 180,000 is... Well, she's got 150,000 here, and that's completely wrong. But I think she meant 15,000. So I was actually quite wrong. And she said, we have more time to work it out. Good job. Don't mention my name. And that's from Mum. So thanks, Mum. I'm so glad that you're not feeling well and you've taken the time out to correct me on radio.
Well done.
But we're just going to listen to a quick song. And this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and I hope everybody loved that song because I was bopping along. That was Love Long Distance by The Gossip, who I absolutely love.
Very disturbing watching you bop along.
Shut up. So we're obviously chatting with Nate Reid from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. So obviously you said it's not just a Victorian service because you obviously service Tasmania as well.
Yeah.
So what are the actual operating hours of the service?
So it's... on weekends and Fridays, it's from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. And then weekdays, it's from 6 till 10 p.m. And we have an extended service on a Wednesday afternoon that starts from 2. So it's just so that it doesn't run smoothly out of my mouth. It's a little bit scattered.
I like it. And so for, I guess, someone who might be interested in actually volunteering and being part of Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, what is the process for someone who wants to be a phone counsellor?
Yeah, so it's super duper easy. So all you do is you go to the website, you click on the volunteering tab, and then you fill out a little bit. It's like, you know, just basic demographics and your email and why you want to volunteer. Submit that, and then within a few weeks you should be hearing from our volunteer coordinator, who will send you an email or give you a call and say, you know, we're doing this selection day, which is what you have to do before you can do the training course at this time. Are you available?
Are there any kind of factors that would exclude someone from volunteering?
Not specifically. So we do try and be a peer-based service. So we do like members from the queer community, and you sort of have to self-identify as a member of the community in some form to be able to do the course. But other than that, it's sort of willingness and ability and yeah.
And I guess you don't have to have a health background or a counselling degree or anything like that, because you said it's quite peer-based. So,
yeah,
you know, you want to be able to put, I guess, your experiences with the training that you get into a really good sort of, I guess, I'm really not explaining myself, in a really good way that you can actually help the community. So
yeah,
as long as you identify with the community, that's really the only thing
yeah.
you need.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your past experience is. So we do have a lot of people that do counselling, but we've also got people that do completely different things and they just want something different.
Awesome.
I like. So I guess what are the contact details for people who are interested in helping the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard out, or someone who actually might want to call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard?
Yeah, so in terms of helping out, all that sort of stuff, if you head to our website, that's the best point of call, just www.switchboard.org.au. And they also have our telephone numbers as well. But for Melbourne, if you want to call and speak to one of our counsellors, it's 9663 2939. And if you're in regional Victoria or Tasmania, it's 1800 184
527. Fantastic. Well, Nate, thanks so much for coming in tonight. Like, it's been really good. And obviously, Switchboard is such a fantastic service. It's completely volunteer-based. So if you're out in the community and you want to donate, or you want to help, or you want to be involved, or you need their service, give them a call and check out the website.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you very much for having me.
They're on the lookout for a co-president.
They are.
Rumour has it. Yeah.
Rumour has it. Fantastic. Well, we're going to listen to a couple of community service announcements. But thanks so much, Nate, for coming in. And obviously, we will be giving those numbers out again at the end of the show, just so people can, if they don't have their pen or iPad or tablet or whatever, kind of handy. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And that was Get Out of My Way by Kylie Minogue. Love, 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 love that song.
It is a good one.
It is. And I was bopping, bopping, bopping along. I was.
Literally, he was.
I was kind of like jumping up and down in my chair and stuff. But, you know, anywho, but this is also part of the show where we like to change tracks again, because obviously we have finished interviewing Nate Reid, the co-president of the Gathers and Switch Ward. So we're going to give you a little bit of information about what's going on out and about and around in town.
Well, the first item on our list is actually not so much out and about and around town, but very close to home. It's our, it's the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre's celebrating 30 years of our being around, which is very exciting.
30th anniversary. Mm. Amazing.
So, you know, we have quite a proud history, and we're going to be remembering and celebrating the work of many of our dedicated supporters through a series of events, which will culminate in a launch of a commemorative book, which looks quite fantastic, as well as a website. So everyone is welcome to some of those events, which we're going to run through in a moment. But if you are going to come, obviously RSVP, and we'll tell you how to do that along the way.
Yeah, and one of the first things is called 30 Years of Passion, and it might sound like a 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing, but it's really not. It's an exhibition of mementos, posters and memorabilia with guest lectures and guided tours. So basically it's drawing on the VAC GMHC's archival collection of public health campaigns and beyond. So this exhibition reminds us that saving our lives started from the knowledge that safe sex is erotic, attractive and fun. So the exhibition dates are the 12th of July through to the 16th of August. The venue's at the Public Record Office, Victoria, which is 99 Shield Street in North Melbourne, and it's from 10 till 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and every second Saturday. So if you're interested, or if that sounds like something that you're interested in, you can actually RSVP or, I guess, make an inquiry to inquiries@vicaids.asn.au. That's inquiries@vicaids.asn.au.
And the another one of the events that we've got on to mark this momentous occasion.
Momentous.
Is we've got a lecture series. So we've got some key figures in VAC GMHC's history presenting a range of engaging talks, each focusing on the different challenges and successes of different decades, and hopefully a bit of juicy gossip from behind the scenes.
And there is many a juicy gossip.
Our organisation, I don't know what you're talking about. So on Friday the 12th of July, Adam Carr is presenting The Courage of Our Convictions, Lessons from the AIDS Panic of the 1980s. On Friday the 19th of July, we've got Bernard Gardner presenting The Lazarus Transformation. On Tuesday the 23rd of July, we have our wonderful Well, Well, Well presenter, Tex McKenzie, presenting An Unexpected Journey. Lectures start at 6:30 p.m., followed by a guided tour of the exhibition curators from the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, and tea, coffee and biscuits will be provided. The dates are, again, the 12th of July, the 19th of July and the 23rd of July, and again, the venue is the Public Record Office in Victoria, 99 Shield Street, North Melbourne. And to RSVP, again, it's inquiries@vicaids.asn.au. You'll probably hear that one more time.
You probably will. But that actually just reminded me, because I would like to say a very big shout out to Tex and Harry on their anniversary.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is why Tex isn't in tonight. So lucky for him. He has a partner and he gets the night off. What do I get? Nothing. Anyway.
Don't sound so bitter.
How can I not sound bitter?
Well done. Well done, Tex.
Well done, Tex.
And we're very, very happy for you.
Exactly. But one of the other things that is going on in terms of the 30th anniversary is Back to the Future. And yes, that is a play on Back to the Future. So Saturday the 13th of July at the Laird Hotel, basically you're going to go back to where it all began for an afternoon of 80s fun. So there'll be reminiscing with food, dancing and those great 80s tunes while catching up with VAC GMHC friends and supporters from the last 30 years.
Of which we have many.
Exactly. So thanks to the Laird Hotel, there will be a free barbecue. And who doesn't love a free barbecue?
Do love the free barbecue.
And they will also have an original attendee unveiling a plaque remembering the night 30 years ago when 70 people gathered together to establish the Victorian AIDS Action Committee as a united voice of the community.
for those who don't know, it was out of that committee that the Victorian AIDS Council was born.
Exactly. So this is a free event that's open to everyone, even the girls, at the Laird Hotel. So holla.
If you haven't been and you are a lady that would like to check it out, you should definitely go on that night.
Exactly. So the date is the Saturday, the 13th of July, from 12:30pm to 3:30pm, with the plaque unveiling at 2pm. So the venue, again, is the Laird Hotel, which is 149 Gipps Street in Abbotsford. So RSVP to inquiries@vicaids.asn.au. And I guess I will just point out that if you want to get more information about each of these events, they are actually available on the Victorian AIDS Council website,
which is www.vicaids.asn.au.
And, Alan, will you believe that we've come to that part of the show?
Which part is that, Adam?
Where it ends.
Well,
I can't believe.
That's a bit sad.
I know. I guess we'll have to get you back on sometime soon. I think we will.
Oh, well, you know, that sounds lovely. It's always nice coming in here for the night.
Well, thank you very much for filling in. And so a very big thank you to Nate Reed, the co-president of the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, for coming in and sharing with us, I guess, a little bit of information about it.
Absolutely. And maybe just go through those contact details again. So if someone wanted to contact the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
Yeah, it's switchboard.org.au for their website, and they'll have the contact details with numbers that you can call, whether you're calling from Melbourne or from regional Victoria
or Tasmania.
But coming up next is Hide and Seek with Andrew and Dean. I think it's Andrew and Dean. They're both in the studio tonight.
Well, I'm sure it is them.
Exactly. But this has been Well, Well, Well for another week. So thanks very much, Alan, for coming in and filling in for Texas Shoes while he goes off and gets merry and has a happy anniversary. And
not a problem.
Probably gets laid. But this is a Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we'll be back next week. See ya.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.